This is your 1017 The Truth News Update.
Hello, everyone. This is Rhea Riley with your news update.
Wisconsin lawmakers are passing a bill that would require public schools to ban students from using cell phones in classrooms. Supporters like Republican State Senator Rachel Cabal-Cabrera say that will help students focus.
When we look at polls, 97% of children will utilize their phone at least once a day within the classroom.
Democratic State Senator Melissa Radcliffe worries about communication during emergencies.
Would be a dangerous step backward in ensuring the immediate safety of our children, especially in the wake of recent horrific shootings and crises.
Most school districts across the state have already implemented some form of a cell phone restriction. The bill now heads to the governor's desk. It's an effort to revamp and renovate correctional facilities in Wisconsin. Governor Tony Evers is asking for the State Building Commission to release $15 million for the state budget to help state-run prisons. The release of the funding would help close down Green Bay Correctional Institution, Copper Lake, and Lincoln Hill schools. The funding would also help with the development of adding space to other state facilities and help establish vocational programs for inmates nearing their release date. The State Building Commission plans to meet on October 28th. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin has paused abortion services at the Milwaukee, Sheboygan, and Madison locations due to the Big Beautiful Bill. OBGYN and former congressional candidate Dr. Kristen Leary says this.
Family planning, it's STI screening for sexually transmitted infections, it's contraception, it's cancer screening, it's preventive care, so much other stuff. The way that the bill was written would take down Planned Parenthood clinics all across the country. And we don't want our patients who need all of these other services who rely on these other services.
About 4% of Planned Parenthood services are abortions. This has been your news update. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on the new 1017 The Truth.
Bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of a judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people up. If you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth and The Truth app.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. So it's been one of those days already. Like, it literally just started and it went south. So the only thing you can do, the only way you can make it work, what's that old saying? Make lemonade from lemons. When life gives you lemons, thank you, Glenn. When life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. Well, my lemonade is that my computer rebooted and it just opened up, but then all of the things that are at the bottom, they're not there. So if you call me on the phone, I might not talk to you. I'm just saying. I'm not going to talk to you. If you play a commercial, I might see it. I'm just kidding. So I'm in a quandary. And I don't know what to do about it. I'm in a quandary because I have something I need to say to President Donald Trump. And my fear is that sometimes when you say things, people come after you. But I have it on good authority. He's not going to come after me because I'm not going to say anything mean. I'm just going to ask what I think is a very simple question. Because it's kind of weird to me. It's kind of bizarre to me. And I don't really know what to do with it. I don't really know what to say about it. And I've talked to other people about it. And then I was watching the news the other day, and it popped up. And I said to myself, I thought the same thing. I thought the exact same thing. And so I thought I'd just ask. And this way, I won't run into any issues. I won't run into anybody saying, well, that's not what you meant. That's not what you said. I'm expecting right now to get a call from Al from Sherman Park. So I'm telling you right now, just hold the line open for Al, because I know he's going to call. Matter of fact, Al, why don't you just start calling out? 833-212-1017 is the number. Al? The regular Al, the other Al, you start calling too. Here's my question. Dear President Trump, how is it that you could go into a place where people have hated each other for at least 4 millennia? For like 4,000 years, they've been hating on each other every day, blowing each other up, shooting each other. Bombing people, killing children, beheading people, all kind of back and forth and back and forth. Israel, Hamas, Israel, Palestine, the PLO, Yasser Arafat, all that stuff that's been going on when I was a kid wondering, what's that about? Like, why are they so mad at each other? Then somebody showed me, see, here in the Bible it said this, and historically it said this, and this said that, and this said that. I'm like, wow. So you have documented proof, documented information, historical information that Jews and Arabs don't like each other. Nope, Arab is incorrect. Jews and Muslims don't like each other. And the person said, yes. I said, so then how does it end? Well, Israel became a state in 1948. And I think it was pre-UN. I don't think we had a UN. I think we had just like that whole global thing of nations, you know, which then turned into the UN. And we got this argument and this fight off and on, off and on, off and on, off and on. Creep in your area, creep in my area. The countries change. The borders change. And so we're going to give you this little strip of land so y'all could be okay, but then we going to run the strip of land. Well, you're not giving us a strip of land then. You're lording it over us. What's that about? So it went on and on and on and on and on until finally, October 7th of last year, or maybe 2 years ago. Well, it was 400 and something days, so it must have been a year and some change. All heck broke loose. Whatever it was, 7-7. All heck broke loose. And the terrorist group Hamas rolled into Israel and killed like 1,500 people, 1,000 people. No, I'm not being flippant. I don't remember the number. And so it goes on and on and on and on, and it's through two presidencies, and finally Donald Trump sits down, President of the United States, and basically crushes it. And so even people that hate Donald Trump are like, yeah, he did it. And so I learned something new from it. When you want two people who think they're right, and one is stronger than the other, you push the stronger person up and you take the weaker person and you push them all the way down. Now, I know that sounds anti-intuitive. It sounds unintuitive. It sounds weird, but yet that's what they do. So what he did is he went in and he made Israel strong and he built them up and they got military. They got all this stuff and you're doing great and it's wonderful. And he went to Hamas and basically said, what are you doing? You're little people. You're nobody, right? And he pushed one down. He built the other one up. And then he went to them and said, hey, you see how big you are? Yeah, if you crush Hamas, you know how you're going to look in the world? You know how things are going to look for you? You're going to look like a big, bad bully. What are you doing? Make a deal. You got the power here. And then he went to Hamas and said, hey, dude, yeah, you're a bug on a carpet. You on a shag carpet. Can't nobody even see you. At least on a regular carpet, you can see you crawling on the top. They can't even see you. You down in the shag. And Israel's about to take their heel, the heel of their boot, and crush you. So you need to come to the table. And then he went to Qatar, and he went to Saudi Arabia, and he went to all these other Muslim countries and said, hey, y'all, yeah, y'all need to get on board to tell these dudes, because if Israel get upset and then Israel pulls in America, then everybody pulls in Russia, then China, we're going to have World War III. And what's going to happen is all of these Muslim countries are going to get crushed because nuclear weapons are going to wipe out the region. Or y'all could put some pressure on this weak dude over here called Hamas and say, you need to do what you need to do. Right? Do what you need to do. They went to Hamas and said, hey, dude, we ain't got your back no more. Like, wait. Nope, we ain't got your back no more. Yo, yo. And now you got this little itty-bitty Hamas on this small strip of land, some of the most fertile land in the world. And they said, y'all need to roll out. I was like, what? It's like, yo, y'all need to roll out. Y'all need to give the hostages back. They'll give yours back. And we'll start over with talks. But let's do that. Benjamin Netanyahu was trying to stretch it out because he knew the president had him charged with like fraud and taking gifts and all kind of stuff, right? So Benjamin said, I'm going to milk this for as long as I can. And he did until he didn't. And then Donald Trump said to him, why you so effing stubborn? Dude, get it done. And if you don't get it done, I'm out. And if something break off over here, I'm not coming back. I'm not sending troops. You're on your own. And in my mind's eye, Benjamin Netanyahu sat back and went, England is shaky. Germany is shaky. Italy is shaky. The other countries ain't going to kick in. And that means I'm going to have Russia and China and quite possibly North Vietnam whooping up on me. Yeah, I think I need to give in. And he gave in. And they released the hostages. And they released the bodies of the hostages that died. And everybody's singing Kumbaya. Maybe Kumbaya. Not Kumbaya, because they ain't all together. So, Mr. President, dear President Trump, that was some great negotiating. You came in and you use the art of the deal. And you put together a deal, and it worked. And now all the people that were against you, the Hillary Clintons of the world and all the people that bashed you, stood up and said, all the talk show hosts, all the companies that were afraid of you stood up and said, you did good. And you did. Can you take that same proudness and open up the government? How is it that you could fly a couple thousand miles away and two people that haven't gotten along for 4,000 years together, and you can't bring Congress and the Senate together? You can't bring Republicans and Democrats together. What are we doing? What are we doing?
I don't understand it. Dear President Trump, regarding the government shutdown, you need to fix it.
And that is Dr. Ken's Truth on the new 101.7 The Truth. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212-1017 is the number. What you doing up in here, Tory Lowe? Whatever you lost, I sold it. I don't even know what he lost. He'd be like, that's my knife and I'm on baseball bat. I'm like, no, I didn't sell that. 833-212-1017 is the number. Stream and watch us live on YouTube. At 1017thetruth.com. Make sure you subscribe and hit the notification bell so you never miss a minute of a live show. All right. Also want to remind you, want to tell you about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. When it comes to your home, the smart play is trusting Gina Della and her team at Pella. This month, you can score a whole house of new energy-efficient Pella Windows for as low as $297 a month. 0% interest for up to 60 months. That's like a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable thanks to incredible defense played by Pella Windows, stopping the drafts. Don't wait. Schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com. That's PellaWI.com. All right. Let me see. Hey, what's up, Kwanda? How's it going? Willie? Hey, Babar? Sincere Ronnie Ray. How come y'all don't put a D on doctor? Please don't do that. I'm just teasing. SC, what's going on? Who else is here? Everybody's here. Everybody hang out. Not really. A city girl is hanging around. Make sure y'all tell y'all friends. Dimitri, what's going on? Tell your friends. Just come over to YouTube and hit the notification bell. Follow us. Download the app and we can really get it going. And who knows what the future might hold? Might do some online chat meetups and run off at the mouth and do all sorts of things. Kwanda said, I asked where the compliment in Allen's. I don't understand what that means. That's something else. Dr. Ken, off subject, who picks the commercials? Do y'all have a say on them? Just curious. Not really. I mean, you know, people want to advertise because they want to reach a particular market. And so they advertise and, you know, maybe we'll talk about that one day. Because if you know businesses, if you know people who want to reach our listeners, which is I might add, quite diverse in terms of being black and white and Hispanic and Asian and male and female, you can check it out. I mean, you can just reach us here at 101.7 The Truth and somebody holla at you. Okay, so what's Sincere talking about? Dr. Ken, okay, you got that. What do I know about what? Dimitri, what you talking about? Dimitri said, yes, make it make sense, Mr. President. It makes sense. We just now need to take the extra step. They're just standing on the Republican-Democrat thing. And at some point, somebody's got to break that. But until the public breaks it, you and I, We're gonna keep this drama nonsense going. I'm just saying, you can broker a deal with Hamas and Israel, but you can't do the same thing for Congress and the Senate. Like, it's just weird. It's just bizarre. Makes absolutely no sense. Is it a priority? I think not. We got political division. We got leadership issues. We need some accountability here. I'm just saying, we really need some accountability here. Jeez. My God. 22 minutes after the hour, 58 degrees in Milwaukee. The low tonight is 52, so it's not going to get much colder, although the wind is about 9 miles an hour, so you might feel a little chill. You might feel a little chill, but, you know. I got a couple things I want to talk about, but mostly today, you know what I'm talking about? White people. the culture, not the people. Not the people. I'm not gonna be racist. I just have some things. So I don't know if you heard about there's a story on thegrio.com where Republican Party is being called out after leaked messages from leaders of several young Republican groups revealed racist remarks and jokes about things like slavery and rape. U.S. Representative Yvette Clark, chairwoman of the Congressional Black Caucus, said in a statement to the GRIO, it's extremely disturbing to know how the next generation of Republican leaders behaves when they believe no one is watching. The climate that has been unleashed since Donald Trump first came into the scene. And let me be clear, and I'm going to speak my history. This wasn't around when Donald Trump started. This was around before Donald Trump started. This was around before Barack Obama became president. It exacerbated and it became ridiculous after Obama became president. So let's be clear. If we could put up with Richard Nixon, if we could put up with Lyndon Baines Johnson, we could pretty much put up with anything. And then we got Obama, and white folks lost their mind. The bombshell investigative report came from Politico, which exposed the private text messages exchanged among several young Republicans, some of whom worked for Republican lawmakers and received party endorsements from prominent MAGA figures, including Roger Stone, longtime advisor to President Donald Trump. The scrutinized texts included conversations between Peter Guinta, G-I-U-N-T-A, former chair of the New York State Young Republicans. Well, they're young people. They're kind of dumb. William Hendricks, the vice chair of the Kansas Young Republicans. Alex Dwyer, Kansas Young Republicans, the chair. Bobby Walker, vice chair of New York. And Luke Mosiman, M-O-S-I-M-A-N, the chair of the Arizona Young Republicans. Joe Maligno, general counsel for the New York State Young Republicans, and Rachel Hope, events chair of Arizona Young Republicans. Many of the texts targeted Black Americans, Latinos, they're actually Americans, hello, Jewish Americans, and Asians. Here's some of the things they said. I'd go to the zoo if I wanted to watch monkey people play ball. Referring to the NBA playoff game, he also referred to Black people as watermelon people. Hendricks also made similar references to racist tropes about Black people and food, writing in July, Bros is at a chicken restaurant ordering his food. Would he like some watermelon and Kool-Aid with that? Hendricks lost his job as communications assistant for Republican Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach as a result of the leaked text. Guinta, former chair of New York State Young Republicans, wrote approvingly about slavery in a text celebrating the ideology of a young Republican group in Orange County, New York. They support slavery and all that, SH blank blank. Referring to the term based, which is known in internet culture to mean something is good or to embrace one's belief. When discussing the skin color of a pilot, Guinta used similar language to say, used by Charlie Kirk, who was shot on September 10th. If your pilot is a she and she looks 10 shades darker than someone from Sicily, just end it there. Scream the no-no word. See, many white people think that every single Black person can't do their job, like they're stupid or something. Every single Black person got their job because of DEI, which really wasn't out when older people got, so which is dumb all by itself. They think that every Black person that goes to a school like Harvard or Yale or Princeton only got in because they were Black. And how much of a disservice it is to them because they're going to struggle. What idiot came up with that? Do you say that to white people that go to Harvard and struggle? That the only reason they got in because their mother? Oh, that's right. It was groups of white people that were paying to get their kids put in those schools. Not us. We wasn't the ones doing it. Interesting. Interesting. It's unfortunate, but this is the type of stuff that we have to put up with every single day. Every single day. When we come back, I want to talk about white assumptions and black reality.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212-1017. All right, so white assumptions, black reality. There are just some things in life that I want to talk about, but I want to know what you think. But in order for me to know what you think, I got to tell you what I think. One thing I think is never drink carbonated soda when you're on the radio. Because you talk too much and it makes you want to belch all the time, and then you got to keep turning. And while I'm buying it, I'm thinking, well, you know, I need something to drink. So I was running late, and I had to get something to eat, and I hadn't eaten all day. And I said, I gotta get something. And I broke down and got a Polish, which is something you should never eat when you're rushed. Anyway. And so here I am. Then I said, I need something to drink. So then I got a carbonated soda. Well, see how that's working out. Assumptions. We make assumptions. So, white assumptions and black reality. So, when I interact with many white people, this is a generalization because I don't want to call any individual people out. Okay? But when I deal with, on average, the average white person, they often assume their perspective, their understanding, their way is right, and yours possibly couldn't be right. I've had people on the show. I've had people, I've talked to people. I've been in a university setting, in a work setting, in a corporate setting, in general setting, in a Starbucks setting, all that. And they seem to, and by all means, I'm open to correction. They seem to believe that when they tell me something, that you should just accept it because it's right. And so I'm thinking, are you telling me because you know that what you're saying is true? Or are you saying it because I can just tell this black person anything and this? And then the first thing people, well, you got to make it racial. Because I listen when they talk to other people and they're very docile and very respectful and very listening and all that, but I don't get that. I get the, well, what, you didn't know? Oh, it's like, oh, that's what it is. Oh, no, it's not like that. As if they can tell you no and you go, oh, it's not? Wow. But then when you challenge it, well, why are you being so defensive? I'm defensive? You just said something that was your opinion. Basically, based on the information I have and the research I did on it, because I wouldn't be talking to you about it unless I did, they're lying. So do I call you a liar? Or do I say, you know, I disagree with that. I think it's this. Oh, no, it can't be. Huh? I mean, jobs they've never done, places they've never been, cultures they don't understand, because they tend to, well, let me see. Does it fit my culture? Does it fit my tradition? Does it fit my custom? Does it fit my rules? Does it fit my morals? Does it fit my character? No? Well, then it's wrong. Huh? And so my question to you, And I know I'm going out on a limb. What's the one thing you don't like about white people? 833-212-1017. That one thing. Now, I have an idea and I have a belief that if you got to give me 20 reasons why I shouldn't do something, that means I should probably do it. And your reasoning is weak, because if you got to come up with 20 things to stop me from doing something, that means that if you gave me one of them, it wouldn't be enough. Therefore, I should probably do it. Well, not probably. I should do it. I want to know the one thing, just the one thing, that you don't like about white people. I just told you mine. I don't know what it is. I can't call it arrogance because I don't know what it is. I can't call it conceit. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I can't call it racist because I don't think it is. I don't know what that is. It's like being talked to and they're patting you on your head. Oh, let me tell you what it really is. Here's what it is. Or if you say something and you're correct about it and they know it, they dismiss it. Well, you know, that happens to everybody. Oh, okay. What's the one thing that when you hear it, it makes you have one of the emojis where you just roll your eyes like, oh my goodness, this is just ridiculous. Because it gets irritating. And who was it? Who was it that said that? Was it Kwanda that said that? This is not pop off a Wednesday. It's not. It's a simple question. P, you're on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Dr. Cannon?
I'm good.
So, to answer your question, I feel like it's the look. It's the staring. Like, whenever I've, like, walked next to a white person or even just remotely looked their way, they just look at me like I'm not supposed to be there or something. Or I'm just, like... Like they've never seen a black person. That's kind of like how the stare I get. It's like, what are you? Like, I'm a creature or something. I'm just like, I've never liked that, because it's like I'm human too. I bleed too. I'm breathing too. I'm here too. You know, and it's just kind of like, why are you looking at me like I don't belong?
Well,
it's the stare and it's the look.
Well, I have two questions based on that. Describe
yes.
yourself. First of all, describe yourself.
Describe myself. Okay. I am a 5'5", fairly curvy black woman.
What does time out. What does fairly curvy mean? Do I really want to know that answer? No, probably not.
I'm slim thick.
She got it.
Thick, okay?
She kind of got it going on. Okay.
I know I can't have RBF. I've been told I have RBF. But other than that, I know for a fact if you meet me, I'm a pretty cheery person. So
okay.
I don't assume that I have a bad facial expression, but I know I don't. My energy doesn't, I don't come into a room with bad energy is what I'm trying to say.
So what about your education?
My education, I have 21 college credits. I did not finish, unfortunately, because of an accident I had. But other than that, I'm currently an administrative assistant for a home health care agency.
Okay.
And I also am looking to go back to school for my associate's in integrative health sciences.
And how do you dress? You dress like blue jeans, or you dress business casual? What?
Business casual.
Okay. So
I can be pretty chic with it, and I'm very stylish, I will say, for myself. But other than that, it's mostly business casual.
What about hair?
I have locks.
Okay. So you have locks. What about eyebrows?
My eyebrows are normal, like every other person. They're not bushy or out of, I don't know. they're just normal eyebrows.
So let me get this right. You don't have hair that's not your natural color. You don't have makeup all over your face. What's your skin tone?
Nope.
And I mean in black terms. Not,
I'm brown.
Okay.
I'm caramel macchiato. If you want to go coffee.
Okay. So most people consider you light skin. even though you're not, but that's what they say.
Oh, I'm not light skinned at all. I'm and very so, much brown. Oh,
and,
no.
and so you carry yourself well, you speak well, you're confident. So why are you acting like them?
What do you mean?
Well, you think you are that. You hear that laugh? That's that Denzel Washington laugh. Like you know I am who I am. I'm comfortable with who I am, and I'm walking through, and I'm in my space, and I'm going. And you're supposed to be in awe.
Yeah, I guess I mean I am confident who I am, so I guess I was trying to understand the theory myself.
Now watch this. Where were you when all this happened?
I guess you could say typically I'm in spaces of business or also just like everyone else, shopping, out shopping. I get the look sometimes even just out shopping.
So
like,
downtown, Glendale, were you at Bayshore? Were you at Brookfield? What?
You could say the Wauwatosa area, as well as.
Say no more. Okay. I got you could have called and said, I was walking through Wauwatosa. I'd have been like, yep, okay. That would have been, that was an easy one. I get the same thing in Wauwatosa. Yep.
Even the South Side too?
Oh, yeah.
I used
to work on the South Side, so you know I got the look. What are you doing down here? There are no black police officers on the South Side. Say what?
I said that are probably my only gripe. I just don't like the uncomfortable staring. It's like can I have my space back? You know.
First of all, why are you giving them real space? But I don't know why. But at some point, when will you become comfortable with you being you and not worry about what other people think?
That's a good question, but I am very much comfortable and I don't care. It's just more so of the it's like. When you're minding your business and somebody minds yours, it's like, what are you doing?
But why do you care?
I don't know. I just do. I feel like if I'm human enough to walk around and acknowledge that you're here without giving you a weird look, I feel like I deserve the same, you know?
Now, if this was 30, 40 years ago, I would have said, well, then give them a crazy look too. Today, I would say, no, don't do that. Because they might call the police.
I'm not even the type of person to match energy anyway. I'll just look at you and smile and keep walking. Right. I'm like, I've got an admirer for today. Okay.
Well, then speak to him. Hey, how you doing?
I don't know. I feel like that scares them.
Well, that's the whole point. I've had instances that I got to go because I got to take a break. I've even had instances where as I was walking, the person saw me and walked as far to the wall as they possibly could. It's like they started moving out of my way, like, oh, my God. So you know what I did, right?
Wow.
I started angling my walk toward them, and they moved closer to the wall, and then they finally hit the wall. And I just looked at them like, wow, what an idiot. Like, really?
That's a good one. Yeah. I might use that.
Yeah. Weird.
That's right. Funny.
Well, thank you much. I appreciate it, P.
Of course. Have a good day.
All right. You do the same. Keep listening. 833-212-1017 is the number. So when we come back, I want to talk about culture, not color.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. Let me go to the talking text line. Curly Q said, good evening, Dr. Ken and chat. I'm just popping in. What's the topic? Why y'all always do? Go back and listen to the video. Just go back and listen. Sylvia said, that's right, Dr. Ken, that's the South Side in you. I ain't talking about Milwaukee South Side. I'm talking about Chicago South Side, y'all. Yeah. 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 And sometime you got to go to the Thuggish Ruggish Ball. I'm just saying. Sometime you got to take it there. You got to take it there. See, I think when it comes down to it, our biggest disagreements are cultural, not racial. And I think many times white people have a disrespect for our culture. They don't know our culture. They assume by what they see on TV and what they hear or the things that are different from them, it's bad. And it's not. But that mindset is inculcated into everything they do. It's I wouldn't say bred. I think they're born. I don't know. Can't say. But understanding culture is everything. One of the reasons why black people get along so well in America, the ones that do, is because we've had to deal with, acquiesce to, kiss up to white culture in everything we do. And getting white people to understand that it doesn't work that way with us, they just don't understand it. And if it doesn't work, well, I'm just smart enough to figure all that out. See, I got this. And you don't. And then when it doesn't work, I get blamed for it. I get told, well, you didn't do what we told you to do. No, I did what you told me to do because when you did it, it didn't work. So if it didn't work for you and it's your culture, it's not going to work for me. And I can only fake it for so long and then I'm going to get tired and I'm tapping out. I'm out. But nobody listens. That's another one of the topics I'm going to talk about today. Listening. You listen, but do you hear me? You hear me, but are you actively listening? You got to have both. Culture is different. So now my question to you now is, what is it white people don't understand about black culture? That one thing. What's the one thing people don't understand, white people don't understand about black culture? For me, they don't understand that they're different. That we only share maybe 40% of culture. And that 40% is what I have to take to work every day and use to work in America, to live in America, to breathe in America, to eat in America, to work every day. And it gets tiring. Because I take that other 60% and I have to stuff it down in me and walk around culturally overweight, carrying around excess baggage because I have to help you with your stuff. And I got to help you with your stuff and my stuff. It gets tiring. So people leave. They leave jobs. They leave marriages. They leave everything. Friendships, cities, towns. It gets tired. Like, black people are tired of having to come to you and say, you cannot do it this way. This is the way to do it. But they don't trust you. So if you're not trusted, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. So at what point do you continue to go, hey, here's the difference. Here's the issue. Helping you understand if you do not build trust, because the one I would say the one issue black people have is trust. Black people don't trust each other, and therefore they don't trust anybody. If you do something wrong in the black community, they speak up for you to save you. That would never happen in the Jewish community. They make loans without even like having paperwork. They don't sign a contract. We think, oh, I'm big now. I got money and we got to do this. You know, we got to do it right. You know, if you want to save yourself for risk, you gotta have a contract. They sell diamonds. They co-sign They sell them on consignment. Here, I'm going to give you $50,000 worth. You sell them, and then I give you a cut. Okay. No contract. And I'm going with emphasis. But the reason I'm doing that is because they trust each other. And that if you break that trust, you could be ostracized. You're considered a bad person, morally, character, all that. We don't have that. We have black people that commit crimes and we support them. We give the excuses. And that, I just don't understand. Hopefully we can change that part of our culture. Top five at five up next.